You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, and my friends, you may have to struggle with us through the rest of this broadcast at a little less than full strength with regards to our audio quality. The power outage here at the studio just a few minutes before showtime has still left us a little hobbled, and we are having a little difficulty, it has proven, to correct this while we are broadcasting the live show. We're working on it. We tested it. It is just not some of the components that we rely on have just not come back online yet for whatever reason, even an hour later. But while our audio quality may be 75% as opposed to 100, the content tonight is as good as ever. And as we told you, we are catching up with two of our dear friends, two of our longtime colleagues, and just doing a midsummer assessment with regards to what they've been up to and what stories they've been tracking and the latest news and events going on within their particular realms. And in the first hour, we did that with Jared Taylor. I got the latest from Jared in American Renaissance. And now we're going to be doing that with Dr. Kevin McDonald. Dr. McDonald back with us for a midsummer's review of the current state of affairs here in America and across the Western world. Dr. McDonald, of course, a former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and the author of several books, including The Culture of Critique and Cultural Insurrections. You can follow Dr. McDonald's latest work at theoccidentalobserver.net. And, of course, he currently serves as the editor of the Occidental Quarterly Print Journal. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, James, as always.
As always, indeed, it is great to have you. And yeah. One of the things, I know you had a scheduling conflict on a recent broadcast. You were out and about touring and meeting the people and doing what you do. But we had Henrik Palmgren on, and we were going to pair you with Henrik for that particular show as we discussed the Putin-Trump summit. Now, I know that story isn't quite as current as it was a few days ago, but it is still quite important with regards to the geopolitical future and perhaps our alignment. I'm not going to go into a long explanation or long recounting of my thoughts on their summit, other than to say I believe that Russia should be our greatest ally. I am a hugely supportive of what Putin is doing over there, and I think Trump should receive the Nobel Peace Prize. If Barack Obama could get the Peace Prize for what Trump has done, certainly, I think, far exceeds what Obama ever did in trying to bring peace with one of the world's other great superpowers. So, Kevin, let's just start there very quickly. Your thoughts and takeaways from the Trump-Putin summit, and we've got much more to cover with you as well.
Yeah, well, I think I've never seen such an outpouring of hatred from the media, from, you know, MSNBC type, CNN, but especially with the neocons. The neocons, like Max Boot, Bill Kristol, Jennifer Rubin, a lot of it centered in the Washington Post, Bret Stephens in the New York Times. These people are just absolutely, they hate this. And I think, you know, ultimately they are afraid. They really do not want an alliance between European white powers and Russia. And there are a lot of reasons for that. They hate the Putin's policy towards Iran and Syria, which is a very sensible policy, especially in Syria, where you've had this civil war for years, which has been aided and abetted by Israel. There's no secret about that. It furthers Israeli interests, but it certainly does not, you know, it's a horrifying thing for what's happened in Syria. But one of the things that really struck me is that I just found out yesterday is that Trump's numbers have not gone down because of this. And again, I've never seen such an outpouring of hatred. You know, this made the whole thing about separating children at the border seem like, you know, small potatoes compared to this. I mean, this is just this just unbelievable hate going on here. But it really suggests that it's not connecting with the people, that he's not losing support because of this. And that's very encouraging, actually, because, in times past, the media has so much power over what people think about. But I think it's slipping. And Trump's constant comments on fake news, going after CNN, especially, but MSNBC as well. And the distortions in the New York Times and all these outlets, I think it's effective. I think people just don't buy this anymore. I at least I'm hoping that they don't.
Well, you touched on something that I'd like to revisit, and you're quite right. We mentioned this last week with regards to I think of all of the things, all of the attacks that Trump has been subjected to since he announced his candidacy in 2015. He has just been obviously just attack, incessantly, nonstop, without pause. But this has been one of the most intense brutalizations he's taken by the press through it all, and including all the way up to the fact where you had multiple news outlets claiming that this was treason. You had the United States Congressman Steve Cohen hint that there should be a military coup against the president to sack Trump. As a result of him trying to make peace and better our relations with Russia. But at the same time, the latest numbers that I showed post-summit were that Trump has the support of 87% of Republicans, voters, his base, 87%. That is an historic high for modern Republican presidents, Kevin.
Yeah. It's amazing. And his popularity in general went up one percentage point from 44 to 45, which is the high point of his presidency. So I think
that's fantastic as we're heading into the midterms. I have I've always been supportive, I think, of Trump. Obviously, we went to bat for him at 16. I voted for him and was the first Republican nominee for president that I ever voted for. I've always voted third party. And so I think there have been sometimes better than others in his administration over the first 2 years. But I think he's really at a high point right now, and the polls are beginning to reflect that. And one other reason I wanted to resuscitate this story with Putin and Trump is that this story, of course, isn't over. It now appears that Putin will be coming to Washington. If you thought that this press was intense last week, imagine what it'll be if and when Putin comes to Washington later this year, Kevin. What do you think about that?
That's going to be incredible. I mean, essentially, Trump's just doubling down on this thing. I mean, it just shows he's very strong in these things, whether it's trade policy, immigration, or whatever. And I really do think that the Democrats are going off the deep end. And if they nominate someone like Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Gillibrand or whatever, and if they talk about abolishing ICE, I think they're just going to just get buried in the election, because I don't think Americans want that. Even a large percentage of Democrats don't want to abolish ICE, and I don't think that they've managed to get this message through to the middle of the road people that Trump is a traitor somehow for wanting to make friends with a huge nuclear power.
And exactly.
We have a lot of common interests.
Hang on right there, my friend. We got to take a break. We got one more segment with the one and only Dr. Kevin McDonald. We're going to be finding out how he spent his summer. Stay tuned.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
You actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Back with Kevin McDonald. We are having a Midsummer's Review with Jared Taylor in the first hour. Now Kevin McDonald in the second hour, finding out what they've been up to, talking about some contemporary topics. And what I want to do with this segment, Kevin, only about 10 minutes remaining, is I want to ask you four questions, so it'll kind of be a rapid-fire thing. And they're four questions, but they're not really related, but I'd like to get your hot takes on them, and then we want to find out what the latest has been with your work this summer at TOO and TOQ and all of that good stuff. But yes, one thing you mentioned right before the break was that all of this seems to be materializing into a perfect storm for Trump. I am very high on the president. I think the president has had a very good summer. And in the meantime, the Democrats are really radicalizing further from the center. You see it with Alexandria Cortez in New York, whereas Trump is bringing back really common sense to a lot of the issues, common sense that has lacked in Washington for a long, long time. The Democrats are moving further away from the center and from people. And I think that, coupled with the fact that you've got another Supreme Court vacancy open, I think it's going to be very good for Republicans in the midterms, very good for Trump in the midterms, and I think it's going to lead into what could be a rout for Trump in 2020. Now, a lot can and will change over the course of the next 2 years, but if things were held today, I think the Republicans keep control of Congress, and Trump would win in a pretty decisive fashion, because I think the Democrats are going to nominate women or a woman of color or God knows what. But your take on that, Kevin, and then I got several other questions.
Yeah, I actually wrote an article called Thinking About Civil War Too, and the main thing there is this increasing polarization. And you can see it in charts over the last 10, 15 years, that the parties are separating in terms of their core attitudes, and especially because the Democrats are going further and further left. And so we have, incredible levels of polarization. And now we have all this hostility where, the president's being called a traitor by these people, where they want to abolish ICE. And then all these Trump administration officials are being harassed, increasing violence. In Portland, you had the ICE office being blockaded. things are definitely getting, you know, they're heating up. And if Republicans keep Congress in 2018, if Trump wins in 2020, I think they're just going to go apoplectic. They're just going to freak out because, you know, they've always had this idea that Hillary's election, you know, was, you know, in the cards, and Trump's whole thing was a fluke. If it happens again, you know, they're just going to go nuts. And, you know, I'm thinking there's going to be more violence, and Trump, you know, will be able to crack down on this and really start, you know, moving things in the right direction. I think that this is going to be cataclysmic if things keep going the way I hope they do. I agree with you. I think that if the election was held today, and I think Trump's you know, in general is improving, and people are resonating to this. So I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, I am too right now, I got to say. And we never want to get too high or too low. And certainly, even what Trump has done pales comparison to some of the great things we see happening in Eastern Europe and Hungary and Croatia and other places. But I will say this, Trump may not be as good of a president as Kevin McDonald would have been. But he's the best president I've had in my lifetime by far. And it's so delicious to watch the left just melt down to the point of absurdity and just spiral out of control because they can't handle it. And yes, you mentioned one of the articles there, The Cause of the Second Civil War in America, dated July 22nd at the newly revamped website, theoccidentalobserver.net. Check that out. Another great article up there tonight, The Art of Raising Children to Revere Their Race and Culture. I really enjoyed that piece. TheOccidentalObserver.net to stay tuned into all of Kevin's most recent writing. But Kevin, I have not formed an opinion on this man, really. I know there are some people that I trust and respect that have said some favorable things about him, some others who have said, well, don't get too excited. It's not that big of a deal. He's not going to be that good. But I ask you, and you may not have followed it closely either, but Kavanaugh, we have not covered this. We've been so busy on the show. The last couple of weeks, we have failed to even mention, we've mentioned it, but we haven't sunk our teeth into it at all. Just 60 seconds or less, your thoughts on Kavanaugh. Is it anything that we should get be optimistic about or not?
Well, the fact that he's so hated by the left is encouraging, but I was worried originally because of his association with Bush people. I mean, he was very much part of that Republican establishment in Washington. That's not a good sign. But, you know, as it came down to a few names, it seemed like all the sensible people were for Kavanaugh because of some of his opinions on immigration. And as we both agree, I'm sure the immigration is the number one issue in the long run.
That's what I say.
And you know, so that's what we have to really pay attention to. So I'm optimistic about him. I do worry about you know, anybody really associated with those Bush guys. You know, ain't all good. But I do think that he's the best of the lot. You know, when you pick a Supreme Court justice, you have to have a guy with a good track record, good education. You know, you can't just pick anybody off the street or any lawyer, as Bush learned. But
I'm not finished. You got to pick somebody that can get nominated. I said I would have nominated.
Exactly.
If I was president, I would have nominated Roy Moore, but I don't think he could have gotten confirmed. You got to pick somebody that can get confirmed. But the Supreme Court has had a couple of favorable rulings recently. Favorable rulings that certainly wouldn't have been favorable if Hillary Clinton had selected someone other than Gorsuch, or if Hillary Clinton was putting forth this nominee. So, guardedly optimistic with regards to the direction of the Supreme Court. And as we know, the Supreme Court is the most powerful body in the world. It's more powerful than the president, more powerful than Congress. So it shouldn't be that way. But if it's going to be that way, we might as well have some victories there. Now, just a couple of minutes remaining. I saw something recently, and you actually tweeted about this. Here also recently, and I was at a website for a university the other day, and you're a former university professor, so you know the score here, and I saw resources, but it wasn't resources for the LGBT community. It seems like every year they add another letter to that. Then it was LGBTQ, now it is literally LGBTQIA+. They just about got the whole alphabet into their acronym now. But I saw something fascinating, a story you tweeted out. Lesbians are trying to remove the L from LGBT now because it presumes that all lesbians are women, or it's insensitive to transgender. And this is what I'm talking about. The left is just going further into absurdity. Can you break that down in just about 60 seconds, Kevin, what's going on there?
Well, it's fascinating because what the article I read, that what lesbians are saying is that we're just people that are attracted to biological women, and they're rejecting the idea that that whatever you think of yourself is what your gender is. So you got a biological male, and all of a sudden he says, I'm a woman, so I can go into the women's bathroom, and if I go into prison, I have to go into a woman's prison, and all that. And you know, this is something that these lesbians just don't want, because they, you know, they see these people as basically men, and a lot of them are, you know, just very weird people. So it's definitely a crack up, and I'm happy to see it, because anytime you reject the idea that whatever your self conception is what your gender is, that is progress. And it's good to see these people on the left, you know, who are sexual nonconformists themselves, reject this, because that's going to be a big political issue. Because if there's any dogma in gender studies, it's that, you know, I can be whatever I want to be.
Well, you're exactly right. And it's the OccidentalObserver.net. We shouldn't interrupt our enemies when they're making a mistake. The media calling Trump treasonous for dealing with Putin. The LGBTQIA doing all this silly stuff, and across the board, Cortez as the Democratic nominee.
They're going nuts.
Let them do it.
They're going so far out. Who's going to follow them out there?
Kevin, be awesome.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, it's a damn shame that our audio is not at 100% tonight. There's only so much we can do. It looks like we're going to have to call the tech crew in here. They don't work on Saturday nights, and so I guess we'll be at full strength next week. Even though our audio may not be at 100%, the show couldn't be better. I mean, we are rolling tonight with fantastic, fast-paced, high-energy interviews with Jared Taylor in the first hour, and then just then, Kevin McDonald back-to-back, catching up a midsummer update from two of our oldest mainstays, Jared and Kevin, and leaving you wanting more. I really wanted an extra segment with both of those guys, but we're so jam-packed this evening, time wouldn't permit. And right there before the end of that last segment, I was making mention, or Kevin and I were agreeing, rather, that it's very interesting the way things are going right now. And we talk about the rise of the right in Europe. We revisit that topic quite often. Gave you the installment tonight, the episode involving the mayor of the town in Hungary and the things that are going on over there. Don't think that our enemies here in America don't see what's going on in other parts of the world. They are deathly afraid that it may happen here. They are losing control of Eastern Europe. I mean, flat out, when you have the highest elected officials in government basically saying the same things we say on this program as the voice of their nations. Well, it doesn't get any better than that. And they know that what's going on over there in Eastern Europe is healthy and natural and true, and it's a lot easier for something that is healthy and natural and good to take root than it is for all the lies that we've been forced to hear for the past several decades. But what's interesting is, as the right rises and as Trump continues to absolutely cause the left to become unhinged over here, rather than sensibly retaliating, they are lashing out hysterically with, again, what I was talking about with Kevin, with the media calling it treason that Trump would want peace with Russia. That's treason now, according to them. With the Democrats, rather than trying to find candidates that can maybe beat a Trumpian Republican, they're going further to the left and getting true white-hating radical communists to represent their party. And by the way, I saw a very interesting chart that tracked the number of white males who had voted for the Democratic presidential candidate going back the last four election cycles. So that would be 2004, 2008, 2012, and of course 2016. And in each of the last four presidential election cycles, the Democrats' piece of the white male vote has fallen precipitously. I think in one state it was that actually at 51% of white males voted for John Kerry in 2004. Now obviously most white males vote Republican, but there was one state where it was 51%. I don't remember the state it was. Obviously it wasn't a southern state, but there was one state where 51% of the white males voted for Kerry, and I think it's down to like 20-something percent that voted for Hillary. So white males are coming back home to the Republican Party. And then, of course, even the support groups of the left are getting more and more bizarre, with the LGBTQIA+ community now wanting to remove the L from the acronym, because to call someone a lesbian would presume that the person is a woman. And that is insensitive to transgender. So the left is completely coming unhinged, as it were, right now, when so many good things are happening in Eastern Europe. And even here, even though it's very small and subtle, there are some good things that Trump is doing And certainly the summit with Putin was really a feather in the cap of his presidency thus far. Now, we talked with Jared Taylor. We talked with Kevin McDonald tonight, two old friends that have been appearing on this show for 14 years. But one thing we also like to do on this show is showcase new up-and-coming talent. You've heard from the lions of the movement, a couple of them tonight. Let me introduce you now to Matthew Drake. Matthew Drake is a guy that I'm really high on. He's a fantastic young man. I just recently married, expecting his first child. He is an artist and a political commentator. You may know the name Matthew Drake from the recent YouTube interview that I participated in with him on his YouTube channel. We talked about my situation with the Southern Baptist Church. He did a great job, and I said that we definitely need to have him on this show to introduce him to our audience at large. So, folks, it's not just the usual suspects doing good work. There are new people coming onto the scene every day, and their content is just as good as anything we're doing here. Matt, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Well, thanks, James. I hope I can keep up. I'm a little tired because, you know, my strategy is to just start not sleeping full nights just to get ready for the new arrival.
Well, so you're in, that's interesting. So you're in training camp. You're doing a little training camp thing, going ahead and going through the motions of not sleeping even in advance of the baby. So you'll be seasoned and trained by the. Well, that's one way to do it, Matt. I tell you.
Yeah.
So
well,
Yeah, no.
I was just listening to what you were talking about before with you know, how the left is sort of imploding on itself, and I just think it's a good thing that we got Obama out of the way as a president, because now we can say we've elected an African American to the White House. And so we don't have to go any further. You know, we've proven that we're not racist or anything like that. So now white people can start voting.
Right, at least in the way that they use the word. I want to, since this is your first time with us, I want to give the audience a little idea of who you are. Now, on your Twitter handle is on your banner, Make Art Great Again. So you are an artist, and you are quite a good artist and very talented, and you use those talents to further our cause and our movement. You have the YouTube channel. So let's focus on those two elements of your activism, and we'll talk about some of the things you covered on your channel and some of the ideas that motivate you to take action. So I guess, first of all, we have just about a minute or two remaining in this segment. Just introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us who you are and what you're about.
Yeah. So you introduced me as a new figure, and I guess I still think of myself as new, but I've been around for close to two and a half years, doing the YouTube channel, just growing. You know, I started, just put out a video on Facebook one time of me drawing, and then I sped it up and I paired it with some other talkers, some other intellectual figures. And at that time, I wasn't really alt-right or white nationalist or anything like that. I was just a philosopher, and so I call what I do illustrated philosophy, and I still hold to that this day. I think that, you know, we have the truth on our side, and so I'm just following the truth wherever it leads and listening to people like yourself and some others like Jared Taylor, as you had earlier, and have kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things about race and politics. And it's a wild ride, and, you know, I'm just always happy to, you know, be exploring new topics and bring on new experts. I consider it a great honor to contribute what I can. And the art part, I will say, I think makes me unique because, as you probably know, a lot of the artists out there are leftists. And,
I was about to get into that with you. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. That's actually something I was going to ask you about.
Okay.
Well, I guess I could ask you now, and if we come up on the music, we'll follow it over into the next segment. Why is that so? Why is it that so many people who gravitate towards art happen to be leftist now? I don't know if it was always that way, but certainly you help revive the the artist, the illustrated art genre for our people with your work. But why is it that it seems as though so many artists in contemporary America are from the other side of the spectrum?
Right. Well, okay. So there's one argument, which is that it's just a creativity thing, and people on the right tend to be more in favor of order, more in favor of, I guess, analytics using the left side of your brain. And so I think there's some truth into that. I'm not a neurologist, but there's probably some truth into that. The other answer might be that there's government grants out there, so grow the government.
Hold on right there, Matt, as I knew it, the music has started, the break is coming. We're going to continue our conversation, our introduction of Matthew Drake to the TPC audience. When we come back, we're going to give you all that contact information, how you can follow his work on Twitter, on YouTube, etc. Stay tuned.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
How many times do I have to tell you? I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Continuing on now here with Matthew Drake, an artist and political commentator, illustrated philosophy, he calls it, Make Art Great Again. He has a YouTube channel. We're going to give you all the information about that. I sat down with Matt for an interview about the situation with the Southern Baptist Convention. It traveled pretty well on Twitter. I saw even Richard retweeted it on Richard Spencer on Twitter, and we of course posted it up on our website and on Twitter as well. And it was a fun interview. I always like telling the story about when the establishment press asked me for an interview. I can remember Beth Reinhart. Well, I mean, we get them all the time, but I can remember two examples specifically. Beth Reinhart of the Wall Street Journal asked for an interview, and I said, I'd rather be sent to a leper colony. I remember Nick Confessori of the New York Times asked for an interview. I said, I'd rather be dead. When Matthew asked for an interview, I said, when can we do it? And it was, we had a good time together. But let's talk a little more about it, Matt. We were talking about, it looks as though a lot of, you know, in America, people that go into art schools are typically, they typically have strange colored hair, green, pink, purple, but you are trying to save the image of artists in through your work. And tell us a little more about how you help the cause through your art.
Right. Well, before I get into that, yeah, let me just reiterate the problem, which I'm sure your audience
sure.
is aware of, but it's pervasive. And I think a lot of people are fed up with it. You know, these BS arts degrees where you go and you're essentially an activist for these professors, these Marxist professors, political causes. And, you know, you go and you know, everyone's probably seen the Jesus Piss thing. But I think what I, before I got cut off last time, I was talking about the government grants, and a good person to who knows a lot about this is, I think his name's Charles Kraft. He's another artist, and he's been doing this for longer than I have, and he talks about how there's all kinds of, you know, grants if you hold the right political views. And it's, you know, you can get paid millions of dollars just to put a giant rock between two pieces of concrete, and it's, everyone is supposed to buy into it. Like, this is something amazing. It's so brave and critical, and it pushes all the boundaries. And it's like the emperor has no clothes thing. It's just everyone, you're not allowed to say this isn't art, because, you know, art is subjective. And I think, art's subjective, but beauty and I don't think that beauty is subjective. I think that there are natural inclinations that we have towards beauty. And, of course, you know, all art is a representation, but what are you trying to say through it? And what is the most empowering message? So I understand why the other side uses art. It's very impactful. It evokes a lot of emotions in people. And so if we on the right can tap into more of that, I think that there's a lot of potential to do that and convert people who wouldn't be converted by just words.
No, well, you're exactly right, Matt. I think different forms of media, different forms of communication reach different people. Some people prefer to read their content and absorb their knowledge through print. Some people prefer to hear it. That's why we have a radio show. Some people prefer to see it. But you need it all. That's one of the, I think, one of the things that the League of the South has been saying recently, is one of their mantras is retake everything. Retake everything. Well, we should. Everything should be retaken for the glory of God and the benefit of our people and the benefit of our families. We shouldn't let art, when people think of art, think of left-wing. There's a funny line in the movie Full Metal Jacket where Arlie Ermey's character, the drill sergeant, says, "You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece." Well, that's what's going on today with this avant-garde art and the, all artists are leftists. No, we need people like you out there that are retaking this institution as well as all of the other ones. So I appreciate what you're doing in that regard. And then, of course, you're also doing it via YouTube. So let's talk a little bit about your YouTube channel as we are continuing to make this introduction of you to the audience. You're right. I said a moment ago you're new. You've been around for 2 years, and some of the people who were at our conference, the TPC conference in Memphis, had the chance to meet you and who was at the time your fiance. Now y'all are about to have your first child and already married. So we've met Matt. We know Matt. Good people. He's a good person. And we want to tell you more about him. That's why we're doing this interview right now. YouTube, tell us your channel, how people can find it, and, of course, tell us some of the topics that they might be able to watch you addressing on your YouTube channel.
Of course, of course. Yeah, so YouTube, you can either search Matthew Drake, or the shortcut is YouTube.com/C/MatthewDrake1. The one is important. And, so why do I do video? Because a lot of art is still work. I record myself drawing, and you can kind of see the drawing unfold. And I like that because it gives people an eye into the process of the drawing, and they can follow along with whatever narrative, either I'm illustrating someone else's words or talking myself. And I recently started a new segment or series called National Scorecard, which has gotten some good reception. Basically, I'm taking other intellectual figures out there in the public space and reviewing them for my own, partly from my own opinion, but I'm also reviewing it from a nationalist perspective. And so I give them a grade. This was inspired by, you know, sort of the political lobby groups out there. They will go and look at the political candidates out there and tell you, okay, what's their grade on this? What do they score on foreign policy and stuff? So I took that as an idea and run with it. So I've got a few of those up there. I've also, you know, just like I said, every week there's a new illustration out there. And definitely done one from Jared Taylor on, you know, were the founding fathers racist? I did one on Peter Brimlow on the rise of white identity politics in America. So, I'm a rabid consumer of podcasts, and so every time I find something, a clip that is really compelling, I like to illustrate it, because I guess I'm a visual person and I'm just really producing what I want to be out there, which is this illustrated philosophy.
Well, that is the name of the channel, Illustrated Philosophy, Matthew Drake's channel, already just at right under, I should say, 25,000 subscribers. So he's growing. And it's like I said, yes, he's been around for a couple of years already. But if you haven't yet been introduced to his work, he's new to you, as I guess we all are. If you're just discovering someone, they become new to you. But it does go to show that it is not just the people you know. There are people that you don't know, perhaps, that are up and coming and really contributing fantastic content. And there on the YouTube channel, I guess the quickest way you might be able to find it would just be to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org for this audience. And then if you go down a few days ago where we posted the video of Matt's interview with me on the Southern Baptist Convention question, you can just click on that video and it'll take you right over to his channel. And then you can go to the homepage of his channel and you can look at it all. And, of course, he provides pro-white content on the channel, but also on the channel, you will be able to take a look at some of the art that he is producing with his pen, and it's impressive. I think you really stand alone, Matt, at least as far as I know, someone who is working on behalf of our cause, coming at it to an entry point from the world of illustrated art. So that's you've definitely got a niche.
Well, thanks, and I just want to take an opportunity to thank you. You know, I'm not one of the big wigs. I don't have this big following like some people, but I appreciate the opportunity for you you know, letting me come talk to your audience for a few minutes and telling people about what I'm up to. So thanks.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, and for doing
like I said, being able to show people that there are new people coming up, talented people. I mean, it'd be one thing if, okay, yeah, this guy says he's doing our work, but he's an embarrassment to our cause, or but there are talented, educated people out there like yourself who are contributing those talents to a cause greater than themselves. And anytime we have the opportunity to identify and work with those people, it's always my pleasure to bring them on the show to let people know exactly what I just said. More and more people are coming on all the day, and they're high quality, high caliber. We did that a couple of months ago, maybe last month, with a new young lady. She goes by the name Big Cat Kayla on Twitter and on YouTube, and she really is brand new to the scene as of just a couple of months. But she's doing it, you're doing it, and there are many others, and we'll continue to showcase them right here on DPC. Thank you, Matt, and we'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.